Welcome, everyone, to the Faith Unscripted show hosted by Clarkstown Reformed Church's own Pastor Rich. The studio line is 845-429-1700. Feel free to call in at any point during the Faith Unscripted program with any questions you may have for Pastor Rich. And as, of course, an added bonus, the first new caller on today's show will receive a $25 Visa gift card and an autographed copy of Pastor Rich's book, A Journey of Repentance, Renewal, and Return. And now, ladies and gentlemen, here he is, the one, the only, Pastor Rich!
Thank you, Chris, and I am the one and only, but that's only because we are all the one and onlys. God does not make repeats. He makes unique people. And that's probably a good place to start, because in a world where we want to think of ourselves as having equality with others, where do we look for that equality? If we look for that equality in the results of our lives, we all have to have the same stuff and get the same pay and have the same type of houses, then we're really asking for trouble, because that's a world that can't exist. And if you try, if you struggle to create it, what you end up is doing is creating misery. But the equality that God intends for us is an equality of difference. Each one of us is unique, and that uniqueness is itself something that makes us equal. We're equally important to God's creation. Each one of us has a mission. Each one of us has a task. And each one of us is given what we need to accomplish that task. We don't all need to be billionaires. Unfortunately, I was one of the people who did not need to be a billionaire. So here I am. But we don't need to be wealthy. We don't need to be handsome. Some people are handsome. Unfortunately, I wasn't one of the people who needed to be handsome.
No, you're very handsome.
Oh, thank you very much. I pay him to say that. But each one of us is given by God what we need to do what we need to do. And only God knows what that task is. And he says, I'll show you. And the joy and the fun of life and the struggle of life is to find the path that God has put us on and wills us to walk and to follow it, realizing that when we meet other people, they will be different from us. They'll be different in all sorts of ways. They'll be different in race. They'll be different in sex. They'll be different in culture. They'll be different in wealth and other things that the world values a great deal. But each one of us has what we need. Each one of us is unique. Each one of us is God's masterpiece. So you are God's masterpiece, uniquely conceived, lovingly created, and never again to be repeated. If you don't do what God has given you to do, it will go undone, because there's no one else to do it. So there's the equality that we have. And in a world where differences are used to divide us, I would just like to warn all of you, my brothers and sisters in the radio audience, that those divisions are not there. Our differences are not there to divide us. Our differences are there to enrich us, to make us different. God made all sorts of beautiful cultures, and people come in all sorts of beautiful colors. But our characteristics that are given to us randomly at creation, or the thrownness of our birth, that's a term used by John Rawls. And by it, he means we all sort of appear somewhere in creation. Some of us are American, some of us are Mexican, some of us are European, some of us are Africans. And some of us come from wealthy families, some of us come from poor families, some of us come from middle-of-the-road families. I won't say an accident of our birth, but that is where we end up starting from. And you can start from there and go anywhere. But only if you realize that God has gifted you with the differences that begin with the thrownness of your birth. So I started as a kid in Hillsdale, New Jersey. And my parents weren't terribly wealthy. We weren't terribly poor. I think we were probably poorer than I realized we were, because we never felt that we lacked anything. But we had faith and we loved each other. We had a great family. And that was a blessing of my birth. It helped me to get my start. You know, the gift of faith came from my family, not from reading books, not from studying theology. Faith is something that is given by others who have faith. Somebody said once, faith is caught, not taught. I ended up being a passionate Christian because my parents lived their faith, and they just didn't go to church on Sunday. They were kind people. They worried about the neighbors. They brought soup to sick people, and that began to enter my heart as a notion of what it is to be a believer in God, a believer in Christ Jesus our Lord. We are here to love and to serve, and not to be divided by senseless distinctions. And so when I hear theories out there that would divide people, I hear something tremendously pernicious. I recall what Hitler did to the Jews in Nazi Germany. He used them as an object of his hatred, because tyrants need people to hate. Tyrants need to divide. Tyrants need to stir up their base with anger and with fury. And to do that, he found the Jews. And what was wrong with the Jews? Absolutely nothing. They were productive members of the German society at the time. Many of them were tremendously gifted. They were doctors. They were lawyers. They were judges. They were storekeepers and shopkeepers. They were thinkers. What was wrong with them then? Well, they were Jewish. Well, what's wrong with being a Jew? Well, it's their Jewishness, Hitler said. And he referred to them as a singular. He said, the Jew. The Jew is does Satan's work, he said in Mein Kampf. He said, the Jew is not a religion, it's an ethnicity. It's a race. So Hitler shows us what racism looks like. Racism is hate based in random characteristics. Now, hate is never good. Hatred is never good. But hatred based on nothing other than a person's race, skin color, that's pernicious. And that's something that never dies. The idea comes popping back throughout history, and it's not always the Jews. Sometimes it's black folk. You know, in the South, after the Civil War, people who were black were persecuted because of their skin color. That was wrong. You know, and Christians did it, and pious people did it. And of course, in the South, the Jews didn't do too well either. And the Klan, which organized itself to be a bastion of white supremacy, that was evil in sheets. But now we also see critical race theory doing the exact same thing to white people. It's your whiteness that makes you evil. You know, if you voted for the wrong guy, you're a white supremacist. When did our politics get so hateful? We have to reclaim our sense of oneness with each other. We have to remember we are brothers and sisters before the Lord. And we have a caller. Caller, how can I help you?
Hey, good morning, Pastor Rich. It's Father Clem.
Father Clem, how are you?
I am fantastic. Listen, I... Couple of things. I was on vacation at Long Beach Island with the family. last week, and I missed my first Faith Unscripted show. I missed it. Is there a way to get that show? Because you're just like today, your shows are always inspirational, whether or not you have guests on or play that beautiful music with that great voice, whoever that your sidekick is there. Is there a way to get to that show?
Yes.
Like, you know, there is.
Yes, there is. Chris, could you...
Yep, you can go to podomatic.com. It's podomatic.com.
And from there...
If you type in, even in a Google search, if you type in the Pastor Rich Show, if you type in the Pastor Rich Show and Podomatic into Google, it'll come up with all of the Faith Unscripted shows, as well as our website, crcwestnyack.org, or .com rather.
That might be the easiest way to do it.
Right. If you go to
crcwestnyack.com, which is .org,
pardon me. crcwestnyack.org, right.
crcwestnyack.org, and then follow the link to podcasts and the radio show. And there are about six different ways you can subscribe to the to the podcast. And you can listen to last week's show, which was really, I thought, very interesting. I had, as a guest, Anna Kobelka, who's the executive director of Helping Hands of Rockland County.
And she
does such phenomenal work with the homeless, and she's tireless, and she's underpaid for it, but she's just a devoted, wonderful woman. She's one of the real blessed people that I know.
So, I was on vacation the week prior to that. I did hear her last week, but it was the week prior. But I'll go to that site and get that. But the other thing, I obviously we have some stuff in common. I'm not a billionaire, nor was I graced with good looks either. So we have some stuff in common, and
that's it took me all this time in my life to forgive God for that, but I finally come to peace with it.
It's all good. You have such other good qualities. You don't have to worry about the facial stuff. And listen, you got the face for radio anyway, so it's
that
all good.
I do. I really do.
You know, but listen, the other thing is, do you do confessions on the show?
Confessions, if you'd like, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So listen, I stole something, and I feel really bad, and I need to get it off my chest.
Oh, you mean a real confession?
Yes, yes, yes. I actually stole something, and it's been eating at me, and it was actually something I stole from you, Pastor Rich.
What did you steal?
I stole your idea of first new caller that calls in gets a $25 gift card. I swiped it from your show. I now use it on the afternoon drive. Although I do credit you and Chris with that brilliant idea, I felt as if I stole it without asking.
No, you're welcome to it. Imitation is the sincerest form of compliment.
That's right. You got to bring
them
in.
That's why I took it, because you know what? It gives me a reason to segue into your great program, which I speak highly about and I try to promote as much as I can. All kidding aside, I think you're a fantastic human being, Pastor Rich, and your sermons on the radio, I'm sure they're just a fraction of what you do over at your place of worship, and I really do look forward to meeting you. Are you going to be at Steve's retirement party?
I most certainly. Chris and I are both
we'll
going.
Be there.
Yes.
Will you be drinking beer with us? Right. Yes.
If it's there, I probably will be drinking it. Yes.
It'll be there. It'll be there. Plentiful, bountiful. That's what God wants. All right. Perfect. I shall see you then Saturday.
Wasn't it Ben Franklin who said that beer is God's way of showing us that he loves us?
Well, he most certainly does. He may God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I know Steve is preaching right now as well. So you guys, always a great show. It's just great to be back listening. And I look forward to meeting you this weekend. Chris will be there. Will he be singing a song at the retirement with his marvelous voice?
I think we can make that happen.
If he were asked, I'm sure he would do it, because
it'll be so
Chris
uplifting.
Has never seen a microphone he didn't like.
No doubt. All right, listen, let me let you get back to the airways, because your show is well received, and it's just great stuff. All the love, and God bless you guys.
God bless you.
Thank
too,
you. God
Father
bless
Clem.
You.
Yep. Thanks for calling. Well, that's great, and we will be at Steve's party this
Saturday,
week,
at the Boulder game. Yeah, that'll be fun.
If they need somebody to sing the Star Spangled Banner, even
right.
Hit those high notes. There we
right.
go. But. Father Clem brings up An interesting
Father
point.
Clem has made you gone speechless.
Yes, he has. But because I was on my roll about rants, or maybe it was a rant rather than a roll, about equality. But he brings up something or he brings to mind something that I think is very important, which is the interwoven nature of our lives. You know, why are we, two church guys, going to Boulder Stadium to celebrate Steve's wonderful, storied career on the radio? And the answer is because we care about him and we love him. And that's because of the interwoven nature of our lives.
That's right.
You know, we bump into each other and we have choices. And one of the choices is we can attend to each other or we can miss the opportunity. You can go, for example, you can go to an art museum and you can walk past every beautiful thing there and not pay any attention to it because you're so busy hurrying to get through all the exhibit. You don't stop. You don't look at a Gainsborough or at a Van Gogh. And so you miss the chance of engaging with that piece of art. Well, the same thing happens with people. As we go on our travels, we meet folks, and we can either be present to them or we can ignore them. In the 50s, I think a guy by the name of Ellison wrote a book called The Invisible Man. This isn't the H.G. Wells book. This is a book written by a black man in around 1950, and he's saying, to most people, I am invisible. No one sees me. And I would ask, who are the invisible people in our world? Well, Anna Kobelka from Helping Hands of Rockland County works with loads of them. The homeless, the poor, the folks who we don't like to see because they remind us of the sadness in our world, the brokenness in our world, and the trouble in our world. But if we don't see them, we are failing to see the face of God, because they reveal to us what Bishop Robinson, an Episcopal or an Anglican bishop, wrote of them years ago. They reveal the hideous other face of God, the pain on the face of God. They reveal to us a mission that we must not ignore. If we walk past the poor, we are walking past our Christ. And how can we do that and call ourselves Christians? One of the great things about my Jewish brothers and sisters is their tremendous love for doing the work of Adonai, of Hashem, of God. And they do that because they realize that to be a person of faith means to be a person of action. And we need to hear that. We need to adopt that. We have to remember that Christians are just Messianic Jews. We stand on the shoulders of our Jewish brothers and sisters. They are our older brothers in faith. And we can't ignore their example of diligent care. So many of them, anyhow, diligent care for those who struggle and suffer. So one thing that Clem reminds me of is to remind all of us that we are interwoven in the lives of each other. Don't miss the people who tend to be invisible, but also don't miss the people you live with. You know, you have kids. Attend to them. You know, one of the great moments in theater, the American theater, was Thornton Wilder's Our Town. And in Our Town's the story of a girl who dies in childbirth, and she goes up to the cemetery, and in the cemetery that, you know, and you can do this in theater, there's a sort of a St. Peter figure who welcomes her there, and, you know, with all the other dead people. And she says, well, I want to go back. I want to relive my, there is so much life to live. She said, I want to go back and relive a day in my life. That's the rule, isn't it? You can go back and relive one day. And he says, well, yeah, it's the rule, but we don't recommend it. And she says, no, I must go back. And then he says, well, if you want to go back, and again, not a good idea, but go back to an average day, just not the happiest day. So she goes back to relive her, I forget, his 12th birthday or something like that. And as she relives it, she has to, because these are the rules too, you have to watch yourself reliving it. And as she does that, she comes down the stairs, and she sees herself coming down the stairs on her 12th birthday. And her mother's busy making a cake. She goes into the kitchen, and the mother just doesn't pay any attention to her. She's too busy making the cake. And as the day progresses, she sees all the opportunities for engagement and connection and love that are missed because we're too busy doing something else. And finally, at the end, she says, take me back. Take me back. Life, you are so beautiful. Do we ever really see you? Do we ever really see you? And so what I'm suggesting is, as a part of our acknowledgement of interwovenness, see each other. Don't miss your children. There was a father, I think he was in Virginia, and every day on his way to work, he would write a little note to his daughter on a sticky and put it on the door of her bedroom. Years later, he discovered that she had saved every single one of them because they were messages of love from her dad. Dads out there, how are you sending messages of love to your children? We have spouses, at least some of us do. How do we tell them we love them? Are we so into the day in and day out world? Are we so into what I want and what you want and negotiations that we forget that love means putting the other absolutely in first place? Absolutely. It should never be what I want. It should be, how can I make you happy, honey? What can I do for you that will make you feel special? And that's not just a birthday thing. Every day of your life as a married couple, look for ways to do that for your spouse. And it's best when it works mutually, but when it's not mutual, heck, do it anyhow. That's your commitment. That's that's joy. I was talking to Dr. Susskind yesterday on the phone, and he was telling me about the last chapter of the Song of Songs. Oh, pardon me, it's the last chapter of Proverbs about a noble or a righteous woman. And he was saying there are different ways to understand it, but he also said that there's a notion of joy written with a small J. And that's to love another person with your heart. You know, to love them with your soul, to put them first, to appreciate and enjoy their life. And joy with a capital J is to do that for God. So how do you do that for another person? Just the way I'm, be there for them, be there with them, attend to them. Don't be so focused on some goal-oriented result that you forget that you live only in this moment. We don't live in the future. We may not have a future to live in. We don't live in the past. It's over. You can't change it, so don't dwell on it. But we live now. And in this moment, we can choose how to understand our past. We can interpret it benignly or we can interpret it negatively. Give the past a break. It's what got you to where you are, so it couldn't be that bad. Because where you are is where God wants you to be. where you are is the stepping stone to where you're going next. And in this moment, you have everything you need for your life to work. God gives it to you in abundance. And the future is going to be only a good future if you use the present well. Because the future is the present that we haven't received yet. We only live in the moment. Life comes to us moment by moment by moment. And those moments pass by quickly and cannot be recovered. Do not waste the present because you're fussing about the future or crabbing about the past, because that is a waste of a precious resource that we call time. Chris, do we have some music?
Yes, you are listening to the Faith Unscripted program hosted by Clarkson Reformed Church's own Pastor Rich Hasselbeck. Please check us out on our Facebook page and YouTube channel. Just search for Clarkstown Reformed Church or check us out on our website at crcwestnyack.org. And just a quick reminder for everyone that Clarkstown Reformed Church is open for live services. So if you would like to meet Pastor Rich and the Faith Unscripted crew in person, come on down. Our services are held every Sunday starting at 10:30. And our address is 107 Strawtown Road in West Nyack, New York. To ask any questions during today's program, please call our studio line at 845-429-1700 to ask Pastor Rich any questions that you might have. And if you would like to send us any questions to talk about on one of our future shows, please send a message to Pastor Rich at revrich@mac.com. And for the musical portion of today's program, we will play The King of Love, The Shepherd Is, featuring soprano Fiorella Miria. Enjoy.
Oh,
That was the fabulous Fiorella Muria. And Fiorella is, I think, just 16, right, Chris?
The 16-year-old soprano.
Yeah, she's amazing. Yeah. She'll be blasting it out at the Met in no time. And she's just a lovely young woman, and her mom and dad are also just spectacular people, so we're blessed to have them at our church. So thanks, Fiorella. And the King of Love, My Shepherd is of course a setting, a musical setting for the 23rd Psalm. So when you hear that hymn, you hear a Psalm of David, and David is saying essentially, the Lord is my shepherd, and the Lord who is my shepherd makes me to lie down in green pastures and leads me safely by still waters, and has a path of righteousness prepared for me for his namesake. What David is saying, and David lived a tumultuous life. David was a man of many wars and a man of much danger, and he was on the run from one enemy or another for much of his life. But in the midst of all of his troubles, he could write this psalm, the song of trust in God. The Lord is my shepherd. Now, let's unpack just that. The Lord. So he's talking about the King of Love. He's talking about the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. The God who called him out of the shepherding of sheep to be the shepherd of Israel, to be the king of Israel. So this shepherd king is saying, the Lord is my shepherd. What does he mean by that? Well, he knows shepherds because he was one. And shepherds keep sheep safe. They keep sheep safe by protecting them from the evils and the dangers of predators. Shepherds lead sheep to food and water because sheep, if you don't know anything about sheep, are stupid. They are dumb creatures, and without something or someone to take care of them, they are toast. So sheep need shepherds. It's amazing in a world where the fit do survive that sheep have made it this long. They're lucky they have nice wool, because sheep are animals that need the human protection of shepherds to care for them. So they lead them, and they keep them safe in their comings and their goings. They give them a place to rest and to stay at night. They lead them safely. So David is saying that the Lord does that for me. The Lord keeps me safe. He leads me to green pastures. He gives me everything I need to sustain my life. This is a popular psalm. People who don't know anything about religion, who couldn't find the Old Testament from the New Testament or any of the books in it, they know this psalm, because this is one of the most beautiful pieces of poetry ever written. And it's etched its way into the hearts of most believers, because it resonates with us, because the Lord is our shepherd too. Now, there's something etymologically going on here that you don't see very readily unless you speak Hebrew, which most of us don't. But the word for shepherd in Hebrew is etymologically connected to the word for friend. They sound almost alike. And I think this is a play on words in the psalm, where David is saying, the Lord is my shepherd, and my shepherd is my friend. He is talking about his relationship with God. His relationship with God is that of a relationship between a sheep and a shepherd. So God is the one who protects him and keeps him safe and provides for him. But he's also his friend. and he walks through the dark valley with his friend. And that's why he fears no evil. He fears no evil because the shepherd loves him like a friend loves another friend. And so even in the moments of darkness in life, and David knew many of them, his friend is with him to keep him safe. Take that to the bank, really, because isn't that the promise of faith for each one of us, for Christians and for Jews, that when we are in the valley of darkness, when the shadow of death looms over us, we are never alone. Our friend is with us, keeping us safe in the best way possible, because God's will for each one of us is that we fulfill our mission and come home to Him. And I recall one of the last verses of Francis Thompson's beautiful poem, "The Hound of Heaven," which is fairly long, but it's a poem in which the hound is used as a pursuing the poet through life, is a metaphor for God pursuing the poet through life, and at the end he says something to the effect of even the darkness of my life, I now realize, was the shadow of your hand outstretched caressingly. The shadow of your hand outstretched caressingly. I would ask you to remember that too. Because when the dark moments come, and they will for all of us, see them as that. See them as the shadow of God's hand outstretched to touch you with love. Because at some point, He will bring us home. And He will bring us home in the way that will bring us home the surest and the best way possible. So when the dark moments come, see God's love in them. Look for God's love in them. And accept them with grace and with dignity and with love. Not everybody can do that. Everybody can do it. Not everybody will do it. But that's at least the genius of the psalm. The psalm is saying that throughout life, you will find moments where there will be struggle. God's with you. You will have what you need to get through it. You will be led safely into the Lord's home where you will dwell forever. So thank you, Fiorella, for setting that up.
And just a quick reminder that the $25 Visa gift card, an autographed copy of Pastor Rich's book, is still up for grabs for the first new caller. So please give us a call down here at the station at 845-429-1700.
I am shocked that people aren't running to their phone
right now
trying to get the coveted book. Because they are collector's items, very few in circulation, which makes them quite valuable. And when you have the author's signature, that might...
Double in value, right?
Yes, up to 25 or 30 cents.
Right.
So, just a little not-so-heavy stuff, but we had a wonderful party at the church this week.
Oh, yeah, our union party.
Yeah, our union party at the Clarkstown Reformed Church. We had a celebration today, Saturday. Celebrating two churches, United Church of Spring Valley and Clarkstown Reformed Church, blending into one church, which is now the Clarkstown Reformed Church. But it's a wonderful place where there's a truly and beautifully diverse congregation, and there were, I'd say, about 100 people there.
Yeah, it was fun dancing. And
there was dancing.
Singing.
Chris sang.
We had a few, a few of our
singers.
There
was a wonderful meal. Cake.
The food was good and dancing was good.
And Senator Elijah Reichland Melnick's staff member.
We got a proclamation then.
Brought us a proclamation.
That's right.
To celebrate that. So that's going to go up on some wall someplace and
right.
be honored. And thank
that's
you,
right.
Senator.
Thank you so much.
Senator, for that kindness and for taking time out to to send it to us. So we appreciate his work, and we appreciate him.
And that's a good segue into our next musical selection on today's program. We will play In the Cross of Christ We Glory, featuring soprano Alexandra Woodruff and Metropolitan Opera baritone John Anthony. Enjoy.
Thank you very much, Alex and John Anthony, for a beautiful rendition of that song. And if you want to hear more of Chris and Alex and John and Fiorella and our other marvelous singers, all you need to do is come to our service 10:30 Sunday mornings at 107 Strawtown Road. You will find a marvelously diverse and loving congregation, a place where people care about and care for each other. We're more than a building. We're much more than a building. We are a community of faith, and a community of faith that struggles to be enriched by our diversity as we embrace each other as brothers and sisters in Christ, and as images, each one of us, of the Creator God. And it's a funny because Senator Rachel Melnick's assistant, who came with her proclamation, at one point marveled that our congregation was so diverse and everybody got along with each other.
That's true.
I don't know if she was expecting the Civil War there or something, but it was. I think the people have stereotypes of what churches are like and what church people are like. And you know, I can assure everyone that when you come to our church, you find people who love each other and who will love and welcome you, wherever you're coming from, whatever you're like. I had a funny experience last week. A couple came to me and they were looking to get married, and both of them were quite into tattooing. So both had, like, sleeves, the arms covered with tattoos. And as they were driving down, they said, well, do you think they'll accept us? I mean, some churches don't like tattoos. And when they got there, they found Anna Kobelka, who has an office at our place. And Anna has a few tattoos herself, and she's sitting on the front step enjoying the day. And as soon as they saw her, they felt such relief because, you know, it's a church that doesn't judge people based on tattoos or anything else for that matter. I was talking to a friend the other day, a Jewish friend, and he was telling about his journey of faith. And he said he'd given up on God. And then he went to a Hanukkah, I think it was a Hanukkah celebration, because it was, you know, a pretty secular thing and it was just going to be a party. And at it, he met a young Lubavitcher rabbi. And the Lubavitcher rebbe was Menachem Schneerson, who was a man full of wisdom, full of wisdom. And the young man said, you know, you sing pretty well. Why don't you come to my new synagogue and help with the singing? And at first, my friend resisted. He said, well, you know, I'm not observant. You know, I don't keep kosher. I don't I don't honor the Sabbath. And the young rabbi said, I don't care. Come. And my friend said, he had this overwhelming feeling of being touched by grace. You know, that God was reaching out and calling him to come home. And I hope that that's the message we send to every person we come in contact with as a church, or every person who listens to this program. You may not feel at home elsewhere, but we will make you feel at home at Clarkstown Reformed Church. And if there's ever anything that we or I can do to help you in your journey of faith, you don't have to come to our services. You certainly don't have to give us any money. All you have to do is ask, because we're in the business of love, transformation, and restoration. We believe people change. We believe people who feel far away from God can come close to God. And we believe that we can help you do it. And if that's just a conversation, or if that's a lifelong relationship with our church, that's up to God and up to you. But we're here to help you. We're here to let you know that there are Christians who care about your soul, who care about your life, who care about your wholeness enough to give you what you need to get to the next step in your life. I don't care if you're a Christian or not. I don't care if you're a Catholic or a Protestant. We help everybody. And we don't want to change. If you're happy in your church, we sure don't want you to come to ours and be happy with us, even though I think you would be, because you're happy where you are, and you're blessed to be that way. But we are if you have no faith home, we would love you to find a home somewhere, and we can help you do that, either with us or with others.
No tattoos for you, Pastor.
I have no tattoos.
On your days in the biker gang when you were young?
No, I missed that lesson at biker school. I did once have a have a motorcycle, and I drove it happily for a summer.
Oh, wow.
And I really enjoyed it. I was all over the place on it, and I drove very safely. I drove like an average grandmother would drive a motorcycle,
nice.
If you know what I mean. And
so if you're coming around the corner, you're vroom, here comes Pastor.
No, I didn't make that much noise. But what I was driving on a street in my hometown, and some, dare I say, old geezer pulled out in front of me, and it because the motorbike is small, even though there was a large person driving it, he didn't see me.
Boy.
So I slammed on my brakes. The bike went down. I slid along the road.
Oh, boy.
Fortunately, I had my Kevlar jacket and, you know, hat and the helmet and stuff like that on. So if you ride your motorcycles, always dress up in the right stuff, because you never know when some geezer is going to pull out in front of you and you're going to be, you know, riding the road the wrong way. So I got up, and the bike was mildly damaged, but I could still drive it, so I went on my way, and they told me I should go to the hospital, but I didn't. It was probably not the smartest thing, but there was no harm done because I wasn't really hurt.
Was that the end of the bike?
It was the end of the bike for me.
Okay.
I drove home after I was driving to a meeting. I went to the meeting. I drove home, and once I got there, I put the poor little thing in the garage and put it on the market, and I sold it for what I bought it for, which was pretty good. And I have never again been tempted to even...
And got rid of all your tattoos.
I didn't have any tattoos, but I did get all the leather stuff. So that was it for me. I never joined the biker gang, though.
Right. No, that was...
They wouldn't have me.
Well, if I had a biker gang, you could join.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you. We were talking about our party. It was again a great celebration, and I wish everybody could.
And everybody had fun.
Have enjoyed it. Yes, mm-hmm. They did.
So, well, there you have it, folks. Thanks for tuning in to the Faith Unscripted program hosted by Pastor Rich Hasselbeck. Don't forget to catch us here every Tuesday right after the 10 o'clock news, only on WRCR AM 1700.
Ramapo.